How many of you have seen us before? Okay, so you knew what you were in for. That's good. But four newbies right up here.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 262, talking about Christmas. We're in our final week here performing the ultimate Christmas show abridged at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. And every Thursday, MRT invites the audience to stick around after the performance and ask questions of the actors or directors or writers. Well, in our case, they got all three.
Tonight was the 17th performance, perhaps, in front of an audience. And so things change. Are there any questions? Yes, sir.
So why here? Do you have any roots in the area?
Why here? As it happens, I do have roots in the area. I went to grad school at BU. My first professional job was at American Stage Festival, the late lamented American Stage Festival in Milford, New Hampshire, and then for a brief period in Nashua, New Hampshire. My wife is from Tewksbury. So, but mostly we have just a long relationship with Charles Towers.
I think this is our fifth or sixth visit over 10 years, so we've brought almost all of our shows have performed here over the last 10 years or so. So, yeah, we have a relationship with the theater.
Yeah, and we're happy to have it. It's a good relationship because we're a weird theater company. We're a theater company without a building, without a theater to perform in. Yes.
Have you got any plans for next year?
Yes, a break.
Yes.
Yeah.
We usually make a new show about every 3 years.
Well, and you made a joke, an abridged break.
That's true. Yeah.
It is kind of abridged, but it's actually kind of, we talk about it a lot, it's feast or famine with us. You know, the gigs come or they don't come. So we've been working, we toured New Zealand in May, and we've been going pretty much since May.
Mm-hmm. The sports show, which we premiered here last year. Since we performed it here, we performed it at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. this summer. And then just before we came here, we did 3 weeks of it at the New Victory Theater in New York City. And so it's been busy.
Yeah. And then we have like four performances in January. We have like four or five in February. We have like 12 in March. Nothing in April, May. You know, so we do have a lot of free time, and then we hope to be doing something next summer that we hope we can announce very, very soon, but we can't tell you yet.
Which you must be happy about, because, you know, getting a break means you get to go back home, sleep in your own beds
yes.
with your own wives and see your
yeah.
own children.
Instead of those other wives that I've been sleeping with. Or,
you know what I mean. Sorry,
right.
that was...
Yes.
You know what I mean.
Yes.
It'll be nice to get back.
It will. The Real Housewives of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Yeah. Right.
That would be a good show. Yes, ma'am.
So you had an awful lot of little bits and pieces to put this together. So what would the director's cut have looked like, and how long would it have been? What kind of things are missing?
That's a good question. What has been cut along the way? Well, I had written a scene where a Buddhist, a Druid, and an Inca walk into a bar. And they argue about which holiday has been more screwed over by Christmas. And
the punchline is Lake Titicaca.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And Pujols, who you got into the show tonight.
Yes.
And so that went away. It didn't.
I can't imagine why.
I know.
Oh my God.
An okay scene. Actually, the biggest problem is that it was an okay scene, but stylistically it was wrong. Mm-hmm. It was the three of us were playing characters, and this is a show where most of the time we're playing ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And there were some reprises of songs that we cut. There was a scene of Al Gore asking everybody to have a not very merry Christmas to reduce their carbon footprint, their Christmas carbon footprint.
Yeah.
That went away. So and so there's, but you know, we do lots of readings of scenes as we go along, so lots of stuff gets cut before it ever sees the stage. And then if there's things we're not sure about, we think that might work, might not, we'll put it up in front of the audience, and the audience will laugh or they won't. It's pretty cut and dried about whether it stays or not.
Well, and a couple times we've tried in the last, you know, 15, 17 performances, whatever it is, we have made some cuts, and most of them have been good, but a handful of them we go, ooh, I think we broke that moment. We need to put some stuff back, you know, and they're usually just lines or setups or something, you know, but It's an interesting process. It's kind of ever evolving, and that's why we have to pick, if I can say the word evolving around Christmas,
intelligent designing.
We have to.
Wait, are we talking about writing these shows for the Reduce? There's no intelligent design.
No, that's right. There's design, but it's not very intelligent. Yeah. But it has to be about a topic that we, you know, like, because we spend so much time working on it. Yeah.
What can you tell us about what was the thought process behind the Juicy Shorts?
I picked something.
Really,
I just picked something out of my wardrobe, and it was just this idea that, you know, that this, you know, there's so many jokes we all make every year about Christmas Carol lyrics, and I have written scenes in the previous shows where I put poor Reed into
it, and he did it this time,
and I did it this time too. Put poor Reed in a dopey costume. And so I thought, well, it seemed only fair to put myself in a dopey costume this time.
But that's a change since opening night.
Yeah, actually.
We were all having a few drinks at the opening night party, and we said, you know, it'd be really funny? Put Juicy on the back of those shorts.
Yeah. Yeah, so Juicy was the last bit. But, you know, it's kind of a, you know.
Wait a minute. What followed along was then, maybe this was after our second drink, what followed along was maybe Baby Jay, when you walk out, should turn around and have Soggy written on the back of his diapers. That one got
and
cut.
Cooler heads prevailed, but that's a line we walk. It seems like it's funny if I wear it. It's funny and tragic or pathetic. Discuss when I come out in that costume. If Matt Rippey were to wear that costume, it would be a different moment. Do you know what I mean? Because he's kind of a good-looking, young, hunky kind of a dude, and yeah, it might be kind of a. It wouldn't be. Oh.
I think you're selling yourself short there, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. As my daughter said, who saw it on the very first performance, she said, "Daddy, nice muffin top."
You're late, daughter. Yes.
My late daughter, yes. It's too bad. I loved her very much.
Yeah.
So that was the thinking there, yeah.
How do you decide to cut a scene? Is it two of you have to vote against the third? Or?
Well, Austin and I are the writers.
I get no vote.
No, you do get a vote. Actually, you do. You're often a tiebreaker sometimes.
Yeah. In general, we used to spend, I mean, this is, what, the sixth show we've written together? Mm-hmm. We used to debate a lot. Oh, let's try this. Let's not try this. And then we just realized it's a waste of time. We'll just put it in front of the audience. And if they laugh, I mean, generally, you can hear them laughing. Sometimes you go, are they laughing enough? So it's kind of, if somebody feels really strongly about it, that's the way we'll go.
That
so if somebody goes, oh, I think we should cut that. Somebody goes, no, I really, really think we should keep it. That's usually, you know, the way it goes. If we feel really strongly in different directions, probably whoever wrote the scene probably has, I mean, whoever kind of initiated this. We all kind of rewrite together, but somebody had the initial impulse for the scene. So usually, would you say that?
If it's
a tie, then we'd say, well, whoever's sort of wrote that.
Or who has to say it.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, who has to get it.
He wrote it, but I have to say it and let's lose it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So was there anything that surprised you in terms of the audience reaction, either for good or for bad? You didn't get the laughs you were hoping for, or you were surprised that it succeeded as well as it did?
Tonight or in general?
In general, but I mean, I only saw it tonight, so.
Yeah.
There's one that I never understood. We tried it. We weren't sure what was happening, but you know my big long spreadsheet. We used to have it where you say, I want a house with a swimming pool. You want two season tickets, and then you'd say, well, Rippy, what do you want? And I'd say, well, I want a Harley Davidson Ultra Class.
Besides a Harley.
And then I would take my spreadsheet and go, to save the trees.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the reaction we got.
In my head, that was funny.
They weren't connecting the waste of paper that he did in the trees.
Right.
So yes.
And sometimes your personal mission is to just stick with a joke, even though it's dying every night. And we finally just like, this is funny, people. And then we cut it. So
sometimes it's just a long way to go. You know, it's too long. It's not that good of a punchline for that.
Yeah. Or sometimes it's all set up for a good punchline there, but we'll be darned if we can figure out what that punchline is. At some point, it'll come to us. At the end of the sort of the Ramadan Hanukkah argument, for a long time, I was saying, holidays in the Middle East, which didn't get any laughs, so we cut it. And then I didn't say anything for a while, and it seemed dead. And then just off the top of my head, one night I said, Christmas in the Holy Land. And that was funny. Christmas in the Holy Land is funny. Holidays in the Middle East isn't.
Well, and sometimes we don't think of the joke until 5 years later.
Yeah.
You know, we did all the great books abridged for 4 or 5 years, and then one night we were doing a fight call because there's some sword fights in there, and he said, we're the Three Mousketeers because we're sword fighting. I'm going, no, and I just ad-libbed because I was being a pill. No, it's Musketeers, dumbass. And Reed went, it's pronounced Dumas. And then, but we gave it to Matt Rippey's character because it was a greater payoff when the kid told off the old guy.
There's another moment like that in the America show, which we did for several years, and we dress up, as you do to escape the trenches of World War I, you dress up as the Andrews sisters. Who hasn't? So I'm putting on my bra and wig and say, how do I look? And for years, the two guys would turn to look at me and say, beautiful, sir! Which wasn't too funny. And then all of a sudden, we figured out, wait a minute, try saying strangely attractive, sir. Yeah. Strangely attractive, sir! And it was funny. Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, sometimes you say something, you think it's a joke, turns out it's just a sentence.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Jack Baldwin from 980 WCAP Radio, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company and their Ever Funny podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? You have 1 week left to see us performing the ultimate Christmas show abridged at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. And then from January to March 2012, you can see us performing the complete world of sports abridged in Yakima, Tacoma, and Edmonds, Washington, Reston, Virginia, New Bremen, Ohio, Kent State in Ohio, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Waverly, Iowa, and Santa Rosa and Sonoma, California. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
So overseas, the verbal stuff may not get as big a reaction as the physical stuff, and you have to change the topical references, but we don't know why. I think because it's the vaudevillian style. They're smart, they're stupid, they're physical, they're verbal, there's, you know, scatological, there's intellectual, and somehow it all adds up.
But but you need to speak English. I mean, we've played Japan a couple of times to non-speaking audiences, and Hong Kong to English-speaking audiences, and those have been dire. But so, I mean, I think that's why we're not as big as Blue Man Group or Cirque du Soleil or whatever, but that are more completely physical. You know, language isn't a component. And different audiences are different. Like tonight we were at intermission. We were going, boy, it's tough to figure these guys out.
Yeah, you were either very enthusiastic or kind of indifferent. Yeah. So if you liked something, you really, really liked it. And if you didn't, keep moving.
Yeah, you kind of sat there going, oh, that's amusing. No. You know, it's just, and then there's some nights there where the audience is just sitting there going, well, that's amusing. That's very funny.
And the lobby, they come out. Usually, if we're not doing one of these, we go to the lobby to sign autographs. And those, oh, that's amazing. They come out to the lobby and say to us, that was the funniest thing I have ever seen.
I've never laughed so hard in my life. And we all go, well, I'm very sorry to hear that. You know, and these are kinds of things that we just noticed because we've been doing it.
Since the late 40s.
Since the late 40s. So damn long. Oh, wait, yeah.
Would you dare do the Southern Christmas Carol in Birmingham?
Do the Southern Christmas Carol? They'd probably get a bigger laugh down there, yeah. I suspect. Confederate Christmas Carol.
Go ahead, Matt.
We did NASCAR jokes, you know,
in Charlotte,
and we're still here to tell the tales. Yeah.
So. They're flattered that we care. Yeah, well, there's somebody. Yeah.
What are some of the most interesting 12 Days of Christmas requests you got?
One of the most interesting 12 Days of Christmas. Well, they're all funny. Tonight's were pretty good, but one night we got. It's also nice in that with this show, with that song, when I'm asking for volunteers, I usually get people volunteering stuff. So I was up there in that corner and I was asking, who's got 12? Who's got 12? Some woman raised her hand and she said, we pointed her, 12 Days of Christmas. She went, 12 years of being cancer free. And she pulled her wig off and she was bald. It was awesome.
And she had her last treatment.
She had her last chemo treatment that day. And it was just like, she got a stand. She didn't get a standing ovation, but
a huge cheer.
It was a really special moment in the theater.
Yeah, and bless her heart, she Facebooked us to say that the night was special. That the theater, thanks to John Dyson, gave her a complimentary bottle of champagne to say congratulations.
And it was just awesome that she shared it. you know, that was just great.
Yeah, by far the best.
That was by far the best. So, I mean, we don't have any more interesting ones, but that was a pretty good one.
And I love it when people are honest. I think, was it last night that one woman said, 11 house husbands.
Yeah. 11 men to marry. 11 men to marry. Men,
yeah, somebody said 11 old men to marry.
11
or something.
Old
yeah.
men to marry.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's funny, you know, you were asking, would we do the Confederate Christmas Carol in Birmingham? We got a letter, we got a feedback, an email. And if you have other ideas and other comments, you can send us to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. But this person said he objected to the Sanjay Claus sketch because he thought one of the things he likes about our shows is that they're very well researched and that we didn't delve accurately enough into the real economic realities behind outsourcing. And... And it was just a...
Now that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, it was just a bullet point list of Indian jokes. Yeah. And you didn't talk about the very real numbers of Indian Christians. Well, and I think it seems like we've covered Christianity enough.
And I think that's a different show.
And I think it's a different show. And if he had, if he had criticized us for not talking about...
His name was Sanjay or something like that.
Well, yeah, but yes. His name was Shaughnessy.
Right.
So yes, and of course, one of our friends last night, who is Indian, came to see the show. Born in India.
Born in India, and as a Sikh.
Yeah. And I said, "Oh dear, how was this?" And his daughter turned to me and said, "He was laughing hardest at that than anything." Yeah.
Well, everybody wants to be included.
Yeah, that's the thing Confederate jokes in the South. People don't want to feel left out. They don't want to feel like you're avoiding it because it's too touchy.
My Catholic mother-in-law was worried about my Jewish sister-in-law's reaction to the show. Well, everybody wants to be included, even if it's being made fun of.
Equal opportunity offenders.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. So where do you draw the line between a good-natured offensive and that's just not cool?
That's a good question. When is it just not cool? Usually when people don't laugh.
Yeah.
Or when they tell us that's not cool.
Or their reaction is, whoa.
Yeah, way over the line.
And we also
have... We had a follow-up?
I'm sorry. Do you have any way of telling before you go live?
Just our own taste.
Yeah. Well, and also, as I said, we do readings of the material. I mean, we started, I think our first reading was in January of some sketches. Mm. And so it wouldn't necessarily just be us. We would be with our stage manager, our backstage people. Both our wives are involved in the theater. I don't know about. So I don't know if anybody else experienced this, but our wives have strong opinions about things.
Yeah.
And in the Bible show, we the baby Jesus is launched with a bungee cord, and my Irish Catholic wife said, "Oh, for Jesus' sake, you can't do that to the baby, right?" And we fortunately we ignored her because it's the biggest laugh in the show. But also like Charles Towers, the artistic director here, you know, he came to see the show in Nappy, and so he would say, you know, here's something you might want to think about. This maybe you're going too far.
And traditionally, the Reduced Shakespeare Company, I mean, our own sense of humor comes out in the show, and we just don't think mean or blue, dirty. We don't get. We never really go there. We like fun, clever, wacky, juvenile humor. But we don't, in general, think the mean and nasty jokes, you know? So they don't really pop up that often.
But also sometimes we get to cross the line and immediately leap back over it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say, we're not Jewish and we love show business. And people go, "Oh, but Reed's the one who's going, whoa, you can't say that loudest." It's like, well, so we get the laugh and then we get... Yeah, you're right. We shouldn't have said that.
And I think, I hope, and the audience reaction tells us this, that what we make most fun of is ourselves, which isn't to say we don't poke fun in other places, but over the course of the night, it's like these three idiots think they can cover the whole history of winter holidays in 2 hours. It's impossible, but we're just too dim to know that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it is a tricky line to walk. And it's also, particularly in this show, it's an interesting line to walk between funny and then kind of, a little touching in spots, a little heartwarming, which we were hoping we were going for. Yes, sir.
Political correctness, college campuses. Have you done college campuses?
Oh, we do college campuses
probably
all the time.
More than any other place, yeah.
Any reaction about... I mean, some college campuses are very political.
Well, we haven't done this show yet at college campuses yet, but
this isn't. I wouldn't say this is our most politically incorrect show. Yeah. They love it. Yeah, I think it's almost like, I mean, it's never been, our shows have never been a problem at college campuses, but I think now it's almost post For college kids, yeah. They're post-politically
correct. Yeah, the PC era is kind of gone. I mean, we'd make a joke, like we play the Kennedy Center in D.C. a lot. And so we joke about the fact that we can always tell when there's a Republican audience or whether it's a Democratic audience. Because the Republican audience laughs at everything. They don't care who they hurt. And as a sweeping generalization. And the Democrats go, ah, ha, ha. Oh dear, no, yes. That's terrible.
They'll go, yeah, I wasn't offended, but I'm sure some people were.
Yes. Yes. My name is Shaughnessy, but I'm afraid those little Indian people are probably upset.
Is that how he speaks?
That's exactly, you could read, that's you can tell how he sounded in his email.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Next week, just in time for Christmas, we will play you excerpts from the ultimate Christmas show abridged, so you'll finally get to hear what we've been talking about all these weeks. Send us your talkbacks via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, moderator Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Anomalink. And actually, there is a reason. It's not random. Anomalink wrote a lovely review of the RSC podcast over on the U.S. iTunes page, as have Bacabard, Skylarking, Mo430, Spud Monkey Pear, Lieutenant Fuzzle, and many others. This was a fantastic early Christmas present for us. If you're so inclined to add on to our pile of presents, go to our podcast page on iTunes in your country and leave a review that will encourage others to listen as well. Special thanks to Jack Baldwin from WCAP in Lowell, Massachusetts, and thanks very much to you for listening. I am Austin Titchener, 262/786th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And this is why I'm recording this, because probably your interesting questions and our hopefully interesting answers will be a podcast one of these weeks. Yeah. So thank you very much for sticking around. Yeah.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.